I feel like every time Chris talks, he sounds more sick than the last time.
You know
he
what?
Talked.
I noticed it this time.
He's playing hurt. Hang in there, Chris. You're doing a fantastic job. I mean, after the first update of the day, you're doing a fantastic job. That's going on the best of reel.
Yes, it is.
It absolutely
Faux
is.
Oh, show.
We've got that's Jason Ross. I'm Demi Barling. This is the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. Before we dig into anything, the WWE is coming back. WWE Live Road to WrestleMania. It's happening February 10th at the Golden One Center. You can get information at khtk.com, and you can get tickets right now. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The Lowdown will have tickets for you all week. But if you're a WWE fan, this is a great event for you. February 10th, Golden One Center, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we will get you all set up. I feel like maybe one day this week we need to do something for our app listeners. Because, you know, the app's a little bit behind. Online's a little bit behind. And it's tough for them to win. And I know.
We love you.
We do. And I know more than any other show, we have a lot of people that listen to us on the app because a lot of people are at work.
Yeah.
Not working.
Exactly.
Listening
Thank
to
you.
Us, which is what you should be doing.
Right.
By the way, and if your boss tells you otherwise, send them here.
And give them the app.
Give them the app. Yeah. You're like, hey, now the question is, why aren't you listening
right.
to the Lowdown on the new KHDK app that you, Jason, can download in your app store
I've
with
got it.
Whatever phone that you have yeah. there. And you can download it on your iPhone app, whether it's the iPhone 8 or the iPhone X. Or the iPhone 4.
How far behind are we?
I don't know. Usually it's like a couple minutes.
Oh, is it that far?
Yeah, it's usually quite a bit. Are you pulling up? I have a feeling if you're pulling up the app right now, you might hear the autism commercial.
Oh, which we've had several texts about today.
The autism commercial?
Yeah.
Apparently the commercial inventory on
it's a little light.
KHTK app is it's also very cheerful.
Yeah.
In addition to be very Hey, that's me.
Road to WrestleMania.
Okay, it's not that far behind.
Yeah,
but still, I've told you know all of Northern California to call, and now the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Because we know we're big in Arkansas, we're big in Washington D.C. I can confirm there are people listening in Portland right now.
Yeah. Nashville
may or may not be the same people. Nashville, Knoxville.
Yeah.
Connecticut. They can't win.
Right.
They can't see tickets.
And
too.
We want
they
winners.
I'd rather be penalized all the way through. I think when Mike Singletary said that sentence, he realized as he was saying it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because that's not how that penalty
works.
He was
like, let's make this a drop. Let's make this a YouTube hit.
Yeah. Oh man. Mike Singletary was a fantastic. I just wish the speech where he allegedly dropped his pants was somehow caught on video. Cause I'm just so curious, like what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because I've been passionate before and I have never felt the need to pull down my pants to extenuate how passionate I am.
Yeah.
Though if you get up and read in Hollywood, apparently
that's a requirement.
That's probably, yeah. I guess that's done everywhere yeah. with men.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd miss that in my,
yeah. May not be for much longer.
My man handbook. Well, yeah. it seems like every day.
Yeah.
Something is coming out. Can I listen to the Kings broadcast live on the app? No, you may not. And if you can, it's because someone forgot to flip a button and it's a complete accident. But no, there are NBA restrictions that don't allow us to air NBA games or any live sporting events on. So I'm terribly sorry about that. But for all the people listening on the app, man, I promise we're going to do something for you here sometime this week where you can get the WWE tickets. Winners and losers of week 13, J. Ross. We'll get into that in just a heartbeat. A couple of NFL suspensions have come down. We spent a great deal of time in the 12 o'clock hour talking about that, as you heard Chris mention in the update a few moments ago. Juju Smith-Schuster and George Ialoka both suspended one game for their hits, totally different hits, in rather physical isn't the proper way to describe last night's football game. An extremely violent football game. And by the way, can we give some love to Lisa Salters, who tried to get the answer to a question from Ben Roethlisberger, who kind of blew it off. She asked, can you explain why this game was so violent, or the brutality of this game tonight? And without skipping a beat, Ben Roethlisberger said, AFC North football. Hmm. And Lisa waited and looks at him and says off mic, is that it? And Ben goes, yep. All right. And yeah. She goes on to the next question. I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger's answer was supposed to be there or what it should have been or if there was anything wrong with the answer that he gave. But if you were with us during the 12 o'clock hour, you know people's opinions on last night's game and on football in general are pretty split. My biggest complaint is that Juju and Iuloka and Rob Gronkowski all got the same suspension.
Right.
And if you really want to play with this a little bit, they got the same suspension that Michael Crabtree
ultimately
and Aqib Talib got.
Yes.
But you tell me, year after year, February is going to roll around. Roger Goodell is going to sit at that podium before the Super Bowl and give his State of the Union address, and he's going to talk about player safety. And I don't know how any media member or any fan can look at him and not shake his head like, stop with this already.
Yeah.
This is why, Jason, I was frustrated with Rob Gronkowski only getting one game yesterday. I felt like it should have been four. It should have been significantly more. And now you've set the precedent. You've got something to roll with. It's been set. One game. Dirty play after the whistle. One game. A hit within the context of the game, it just turned out to be illegal. If Vontaze Burfict is looking 4 inches to his right, it's a completely legal hit because he sees Juju coming.
Yeah.
I think what George Iuloka did is actually significantly worse than what Juju Smith-Schuster did because he purposely tried to take out Antonio Brown's head in an effort to keep him from catching the ball.
We were listening into an interesting conversation on NFL Live. If the games were flip-flopped, meaning the Bills-Patriots game was Monday night, and the same plays happened in the Steelers-Bengals game on Sunday, that would have been an interesting dynamic to see what the penalties would have been handed down Monday for the Bengals game if that had happened. And then Rob Gronkowski's play happens Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And when you already set the one game for Gronk and give these guys one, it just, I think because these are all opinions, instead of there's no hard fact, like substance abuse, it's four games at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Players in the NBA leaving the bench. It's one game, even though I still think that's a silly rule, but it's a rule.
But you know what? To their credit,
they stick to it.
Yeah, I mean, if credit's the word you want to use, they do.
Right.
They stick to it.
Yeah, and so where I've had a problem with the NBA on that one is, all right, I take a step onto the floor, I get one game. You swing at me or I swing at you, I don't hit you, I get a game.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I tried to hurt you, mm-hmm. and I get a game. I stepped on the floor maybe helping a teammate, or I'm curious, one game. So when it's judgment on some of the other things like these hits or like fights, that's where I think they get in a lot of trouble because they never seem to get those numbers right. Because there's no hard, fast rule on, hey, you throw a punch, two games automatically, or an illegal hit, it's automatically this. They don't have that rule.
They don't, and it's everything with the league is left to – they tried to stick to a domestic violence rule with Ezekiel Elliott.
Tried.
It arguably – and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably the case – of all the domestic violence cases that they had the least amount of evidence to, and I'm not using this term in the legal term in the legal sense. I'm just using it because it fits. Prosecute Ezekiel Elliott. That they were going. Hey, this is our hard and fast rule. It's six games. I know we didn't use it for that kicker in New York, who you know the rule was implemented by then. I know we didn't use it then. And we've taken a lot of flack for that. So we're going to use it now. It wasn't a hard and fast rule before, even though we put it in the language of the collective bargaining agreement and all the players and the players union and all that they agreed. But we're going to do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the NFL. Man, the NFL has problems. The NFL has a lot of issues. And you can jump on whatever train you want to. You can jump on the game is too violent. You can jump on the game is too sissified. You can jump on anthem protests. You can jump on quarterbacks being blackballed. No matter what your flavor is, you're going to find it as a reason to be frustrated with the NFL.
Right.
And it's reflective. It's reflective in ratings. It's reflective in attendance. And I don't know how they fix this. I think there's a lot of content towards Roger Goodell from fans because I think they look at the he's pretty much alienated himself to two huge fan bases, the Patriots and the Cowboys. But now you just start to look around and go, there's no, you're the judge, jury, executioner, you're the sheriff, you're everything. And you can't get these suspensions right. Why were you so adamant about Ezekiel Elliott, but you're suspending Rob Gronkowski for one game? Why are you so adamant about player safety, but you suspended George Ialoka, who took a, what I would argue is just, except for the fact that it wasn't during a dead ball,
yeah,
was just as big
zone,
of a cheap shot as what Gronk did.
Mm-hmm. Inconsistent. Right?
And that's what I said, man.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what your flavor is with the NFL, no matter why you choose to hate them, there's a reason there for you. There's reasons for everybody. And everyone's side's taking credit. It's too violent. My group is the reason the ratings are going down. Well, they're blackballing Cap. My group is the reason they're going ratings down. Well, these guys are protesting the anthem. Well, I'm the reason.
Right.
Well, these games are big sissies. I want it to be like it was in the 50s. I'm the reason no one's watching anymore. All right. Cool. But no matter what group you fit into, you might fit into one of them. It's hard to say, oh, I just enjoy the NFL now. Because every NFL conversation is now predicated with something. Whether it's Cap, whether it's protest, whether it's this, whether it's hits, whether it's violence, whether it's CTE. That's the term we should be using in all of this, is CTE. And I go back to a call that we had earlier in the 12 o'clock hour, and I thought it was a great call. We now have a name for it. We didn't know what to call it before. We essentially have a name and a face. The face, strangely enough, is Will Smith. He's not the doctor, but
right.
He's playing the doctor, and we know Will Smith a lot better than we do Dr. Bennett, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that and CTE. And if you saw Concussion, you can think whatever you want to about the movie, but there's one scene that will always ring in my head forever. It's the mason jar scene where he has the fluid and he has the little object in the mason jar, and he says, this is your brain, and this is the brain fluid around it. And he starts to shake it violently, and he says, this is the front of your head, this is the back of your head, and it's intertwined with all of those Steelers clips. I didn't think the movie was great.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
don't remember much about, I don't remember the movie at all.
It's no Draft Day.
But I'll never forget that scene.
Yeah.
I will never ever forget that scene. When I think of Concussion, the movie Concussion,
right,
that's the scene I'll think of. And when I hear a player has a concussion or when I see those hits, I will think back to that scene with Will Smith and that damn mason jar.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bulk of the conversation in the 1 o'clock hour. It was a very spirited conversation. A lot of you weren't able to be a part of that, but I'm looking at the text line. I'm not offended by anything in the NFL. I just enjoy the game. Every player is an individual, and individuals believe, and that's the way it is. You have to respect everybody's beliefs in the right to protest or the right to get hit violently.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a voice to text. I'm trying to put that all together as much as I can. But, yeah, I get it. These guys all make their decisions. This text here, Jason, at 44-11-40. Juju's hit was clean. Technically, no, it wasn't. Vontaze Burfict couldn't see him. He is now a defenseless player on the field. So it wasn't legal. That's that.
Yeah. Different time.
Letter of the law. Right.
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Great hit.
Sure was.
Yeah.
It sure was.
Great play.
2017, it's not.
Yeah.
Winners and losers. I'll just jump out with the loser because we're talking about it right now. I feel like the NFL took a huge L this week because there were some great football games. There were some great individual performances. I think what we saw from Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks against the team that had been the best in the league up until that point with the Philadelphia Eagles was absolutely fantastic. We'll talk more about them in just a second. But I feel like football is being talked about across platforms, not just on sports media, but on media in general, because of the violence of last night's game and because the absolute idiocy of Rob Gronkowski and the inability for the NFL to effectively punish players who commit these types of personal fouls. I think the NFL has taken a massive L this week.
The other one, I think, on my loser list that took a huge, massive L as well would be the Giants. Just the way it was handled in its totality. For Eli to have to go to the bench in this situation, and now reports are already that he's going to start this week. Yeah, McAdoo's gone. Reese is gone. But, and even the ownership, the way they handled it. Mara said, yeah, you know, I'm culpable in this too. Don't point the finger at them. We're pointing it at everybody. They butchered it. They had a bad week, and they played okay against the Raiders. I mean, that's actually on the field. But to me, this is all about off the field and the Eli situation, and it's just weird now that he's starting this week, and maybe even he's back next year. I mean, it just went from Eli might retire to Eli's definitely gone to now maybe he's back. They'll have a new coach, new GM. It's just strange.
Can't you? Don't you just say, like, if you're Eli, season ends behind closed? Like, come on. Like, let's stop.
I think I would explore the options if I'm Eli. Because we all assume he's going to a better place, but is he? We don't know that for certain. I mean, what if it's.
And that's another thing that we'd have to break down, which surprisingly we haven't yet, and we've had a week to do it. We probably should have. Is what are the ramifications? Is this a trade situation?
Right.
What is his contractual? You know, how does this work out to where he could be released? You know, similar to the way Peyton was. Is there a deadline? Peyton's was actually really easy because there was a deadline, and it was a very clear deadline with a very clear dollar amount attached to it.
Right.
It was an absurd dollar amount that if Peyton was on the roster, he would get paid that by the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know what Eli's situation is, but I actually don't want him. I don't care who the coach and general manager is.
You don't want him in New York?
No.
Yeah.
Let him go. Let him finish somewhere else.
Best for everybody,
If you're John Mara, why didn't you do this last Wednesday?
Exactly. That's what as much of the beef of it for me is him.
All we're talking about is the streak,
yeah.
Right? We're not talking about the Giants making a comeback and being in competing for the division or competing for a wild card.
Yeah.
We're talking about the streak and nothing else.
Right, and if they had a young quarterback that we thought they drafted that they were really looking to groom, we don't think so. It's not Geno. And then is it Davis Webb? I don't know. Maybe it is down the line. But then play him last week. They didn't. And now you're going to go back to Eli. It's just the whole thing was handled poorly.
Text here at 44-1140. Would you call Juju's taunting idiocy as well?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, to me, the biggest, 100%. The most egregious thing about the play. Because I did think of it as a clean play. Letter of the law, it's not. But
I'll stick with what I said before, is that if that's any other Cincinnati Bengal, if that's any other player on the other 31 teams, anybody except Vontaze Burfict, he doesn't stand over him like that.
Okay.
I don't think he was celebrating a big hit on a player. I was thinking, hey, that's Vontaze Burfict. That's my guy, Antonio Brown. You took him out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one for you.
Yeah, and you know locker rooms. You know teams. Hey, they're planning celebrations. They are talking about it, people on the other team. Hey, if anybody gets a shot at X player, boom.
Here's Juju talking to the Juju Smith-Schuster talking to the reporter pool, but you can't hear him. You'll hear Antonio Brown in the background.
After I seen the replay, I think I should have held back a little bit more and just, you know, from blocking him.
I ain't sure. I got straight cash on
him. I also believe that that's not me. You know,
it's
I should never
stood
over him. I apologize for that. And
it's called with that, karma.
With that being said,
it's called
I hope
karma.
He gets better.
And Juju's a rookie trying to get through that interview without reacting to Antonio Brown. But how do you think that – how do you think that that lock – despite seeing Ryan Scherzer carted off the field, how do you think that locker room felt about what happened to Vontaze Burfict?
Right.
You heard it.
Yeah.
You heard it from Antonio Brown right there. Let's go to the other Jason. Jason, what's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big yellow flag on this one. A couple things about the Giants, and I'm not a Giants fan, but think about what happens if the Orioles bench Cal Ripken to break his streak. That's an equivalent in another sport to how screwed up the Giants organization was and how they did Eli Manning wrong. I mean, that was just absolutely terrible.
Yep.
But, you know, I like to make analogies. And what I'm thinking about, like, is remember when you're in high school and you got advice from somebody that you thought was really cool but gave you really awful advice and you ended up in a relationship with somebody and you did all the wrong things and you're so afraid of screwing something up that you actually made it worse? That's Roger Goodell giving the bad advice, and that's all the owners that are so afraid of being politically incorrect that they're actually making it worse. The reality is they need a new commissioner big time. I mean, he is a clown. He needs to be fired. And as much as Jerry Jones is annoying, like, he is right. Roger Goodell, I mean, think about this. With Gronk, what he did was so outrageously awful. And you got to think, and maybe in the back of his head, he's going to get a lot of pushback because how he pursued the Brady, you know, the Brady thing, that maybe he was like, it's like, this is the last straw. If I piss off, you know, all the Pats fans again, by suspending Gronk for like 3 or 4 games, which he should have been suspended. Can you imagine? Not only do you have Dallas, Jerry Jones, the most expensive franchise in NFL, to piss off the other storied franchise with the best quarterback and probably one of the best coaches of all time. You know, and then now obviously you have the Rooney family, and the Steelers are amazing as well. So it's like, I don't know. He needs to go, and they definitely need to put it out there on paper. This is what we're going to do, and stick to it. Because the worst thing you could have with all these NFL players is uncertainty.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are my thoughts.
No, we appreciate you. Thanks, Jason. We appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Can we mention one more thing that I'll put on? I don't know if this is on the. I like the idea. I'll put the idea on the winner's list, but I'm going to put the execution on the loser's list because it's an aspect that minus 3 brutal plays or 4 brutal plays. Again, here we are recapping last night's game and not mentioning the fact that Joe Mixon was face down unconscious at some point during that game. At any other point, without the violence of last night's game, this probably would have been the highlight. The Steelers celebration, where Juju Smith-Schuster goes for the WWE pin on Le'Veon Bell. The execution was a problem, though, because Antonio Brown totally fast counted him. He did the referee screw job count, did it way too fast. But I like the idea.
Work on that one.
I like, they're all, I was reading up on those guys. All 3 of them are big WWE fans, so I thought that was a cool one.
Pittsburgh's good. Pittsburgh is probably the best team at celebrations. At least they have the best
Philly's,
plan.
Philly's pretty good.
They're good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did Philly do the second line? Or the electric slide or whatever it was?
They did.
Yeah.
They did the electric slide. And did Philly do the free throw also?
No, I think that was Jacksonville.
Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
Yep, Leonard Fournette.
And all the bigs boxed. That was great.
That was great. Yeah. They sold it.
Yeah.
They absolutely sold it. Yeah. They made it work. Let's go positive.
Okay.
Let's go positive.
I got one. How about I'm going to put the 49ers front office. And the reason I do that is because of their decision to get Jimmy G and Garoppolo played. First time we saw him play. Two passes his first week, 2 weeks ago, throws a touchdown. This last week, he started, didn't get a bunch of points, left them out there, but they won. And I guess my point being that if you look at the bottom teams, we were just talking about the Giants, teams like Cleveland, some of the worst teams in the NFL are going to do everything they can in this offseason to find their next quarterback, whether they're going to move up in the draft or draft one or trade around to get one. The 49ers are already ahead of that. They don't have to do that. They can fill other positions of need. So, and then the first time we see him, he looked pretty good. I mean, and they don't have all the pieces they need. They need a better line. They need better players. But I think 49ers front office was aggressive in making the move. First full game we see him, it looks good.
Russell Wilson's MVP chances. That's on my winner's list.
Yeah.
I understand. We've got 4 weeks to play, and I don't expect Philadelphia to lose again. I gave them one. I thought after watching, okay, I see him 14-2. I could see it, 14-2. That was their one that they lost. I think they're going to run the table the rest of the way. But where if Russell, again, the number yesterday, 29 of the 30 touchdowns that the Seattle Seahawks have, he's accounted for. Man, if those aren't MVP numbers,
yep.
I don't know what is.
You just got 2 thumbs up from the window from Doug Christie.
I'm sure I did. I'm sure Doug.
He was very happy about that.
I'm quite sure. There's a couple more winners. I want to get on this list. We will do that. Plus, we'll take a look ahead at Week 14. There's some massive. I think there's some playoff, some actual playoff games being played this weekend. We'll touch on those as we continue here with the lowdown on Sports 1140. Not shockingly, given what happened last night on Monday Night Football, and how much of that do you think played into all of this?
What do you mean?
That it was Monday Night
the one
Football
game we all are watching?
Right. It wasn't on the red zone. It wasn't a 10 p.m. Start.
True. We see it instead of a highlight, like, hey, did you see this in this game? And then maybe you miss it.
As what should be a surprise to no one, and I think the NFL got all of this wrong, but they have upheld Rob Gronkowski's suspension. He will miss the game against the Miami Dolphins, which I think is actually a Monday night.
It is, next Monday night.
Which I assume we will have for you.
We do.
Here on Sports 1140. It's actually a great week of college football it's a great week of NFL games. To the best of my knowledge, there is no college football.
Army-Navy.
There is Army-Navy this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
Who you got? I'm just kidding.
Army.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should mention Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart's headed to Florida State as their new head coach. A couple of more winners, Jason, if we could. Everyone associated with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Hmm.
They're on my winners list.
Yeah.
I know Raider fans don't like to hear that, but you got to acknowledge how well they've played. I want to put a loser on the list as well. Everyone associated with the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
In fact, I might put the entire state of Colorado on the loser list just because of how bad things got. And the fact that the terribly offensively deficient Miami Dolphins were able to score 33 points against you. And the fact that the Dolphins coach worked for you for six freaking years is just all the more reason. All Colorado, all of you.
Yeah. And Jay Cutler beat you that bad.
I don't care how lax your weed laws are. You're all on the list right now.
I thought you were going to put Kansas City because they're on my list. That division, one more win, two more wins, this is over. They have let the Chargers in, the Raiders in, and now all sorts of questions about Kansas City. What's wrong with them? Can they win again? Will they miss the playoffs? Is Andy Reid in trouble? Is Alex Smith gone? All the questions are there that once weren't there at all about this team.
I want to make sure we fit in for a winner's list. The high-quality character Hall of Fame guys, Larry Fitzgerald and Frank Gore. Both, I think Frank Gore is up to fifth now, all-time leading rushers. And Larry Fitzgerald, just he's climbing up into top three, four, five every week. Every week he does something that moves him up that list. And he's just, again, high-quality character guys. They're both Hall of Famers. They deserve some recognition.
Yeah, and especially,
despite being on awful teams.
Well, and especially in this sport, I think you get more credit because sometimes you'll hear people go, well, they just played for so long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about that in football. The average, what's the expectancy, like 4 years
well,
or less?
I mean, that's Jerry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, I mean, Jerry
Rice.
But
he was excellent for all that time.
He played for, so, like, yeah. His, when you were, oh, look how close, you know, Larry Fitzgerald moved up third on an all-time receptions list. Oh, great. Holy crap. Look how far away
yes.
He is. He needs to play like 10 more years to catch Jerry Rice. I'm not being serious with that number. But when you look at the discrepancy in the numbers between what Jerry Rice has, I think there's maybe it's touchdowns or yards. But when you look at what Jerry Rice has and then like what Terrell Owens has or Randy Moss or Larry Fitzgerald, it's absolutely it's mind-boggling.
And that's why when guys, especially in football, can do this for that long. Now, Frank Gore hasn't been as good as the last the earlier part of his career, but to keep he's still the number one runner. Getting his 60 to 80 yards a week, and that's not easy to do.
I'm going to die a little when I give you this winner. The Ravens' offense. The Ravens are 7-5. Their offense alone, they scored 40-some-odd points this week, but their offense alone put up 30-plus.
Yeah.
They had one defensive touchdown. They're 7-5. How?
They really are in the mix.
I don't know how. I don't know why, but they're there, and I hate every second of it. But they're there. Do you got any more that you feel?
I think we've had him in every week, and they need to stay there. And they did a combo, but Case Keenum and the Vikings.
Yeah.
Right? He has solidified himself, whether he's a Viking for the future or on some other team. They're now the one seed. They went from, hey, this is a cute story. Look, they might actually make the playoffs. They might win their division. Now they're the one in the NFC.
And where's the Super Bowl this year?
In their house.
In Minnesota.
So good for them.
Do you got Tyreek Cohen on your list? Because there's no way we can't mention him. He went full Tecmo Bowl. Like, you don't run like that in real life. You run like that in a video game.
Yeah.
And he did that.
That's one where I would love to be post-game, the film session with the special teams coach, because I'm sure it's one of those at the end that he's happy because they got a touchdown. But didn't he do everything wrong?
Everything.
And so what do you do? Because he has that ability.
He did one thing right, though.
Yeah. The end result was fantastic. And it was a great highlight.
Yeah.
Because you could see it. You're going, bad decision. Oh, you made it worse. Now, where are you going? This is nice move. Touchdown.
Hey, how about that?
That worked.
Hey, good for
you. I didn't see it, but you did.
Week 14 of the NFL. And there,
it's almost done.
Yeah. And there are massive playoff implications. In the games being played this week. And it starts here on Sports 1140 on Thursday, beginning at 5 o'clock. We'll be in Atlanta for the Saints and the Falcons. Saints 9-3, Falcons 7-5. We talk about the more desperate team quite a bit, Jay Ross. The Falcons are desperate at
this point.
Because, as we noted in one small thought earlier, The Falcons are currently behind the Seahawks in the wild card race. They're even behind the Carolina Panthers. They need to start stringing together some wins if they want to make a run this postseason.
And it's home. I mean, again, you know, this is a game, shorter week. New Orleans has a little bit of a cushion. New Orleans basically will make the playoffs with a win. I mean, it's not mathematically there, but now you've already beaten the Panthers twice. You'd get to 10. You'd move the Falcons, you know, three back of you. New Orleans can clinch things, but for Atlanta, this is desperate. They have to win this game. It should be a good one.
And playoff chances, playoff clinching had a bad week. There were two scenarios in which Philadelphia would get in. If Dallas Cowboys lose, Philadelphia clinches a playoff spot. If the Philadelphia Eagles win,
yep,
they'd catch a playoff spot. If the Dallas Cowboys lose, the Philadelphia Eagles catch a playoff spot. Neither one of them happened.
Nope.
So Philadelphia still fighting for their life there.
Just a matter of time.
In the NFC East. Luckily for the Falcons, they get a little help, as will every wild card team, possibly. Because you got the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings, who you were just praising, in Carolina. It's 8-4 Carolina Panthers. I hate the Ravens. I don't understand the Panthers. I don't dislike them. I just don't get it. Like, if I asked you right now, why are the Panthers 8-4? What would you say?
I feel like my answer would have to be their defense, but I don't know that I feel certain about that. Like, in the past, if you told me, well, because Cam's playing like an MVP, but I can't say that. McCaffrey's killing it. No. I mean, he's been fine. They traded Benjamin. I mean, they did some things this year that you kind of wonder, all right, is this for the better or the worse? I honestly don't have a great answer why.
You were right the first time. It is their defense. Yeah. You know, we noted early, you know, I think they were third in rushing defense going into that game against New Orleans. Their defense has been their hallmark for a long time, and they're doing it well. The game everyone here will be paying close attention to, very, very close attention to, the Raiders at Arrowhead. 2-6-6 teams. Just for keep track's sake, the Chargers are hosting Washington in Los Angeles. So there's the – no one's worried about the Broncos. So there's the NFC West playoff picture right there. The Raiders and Chiefs and Washington and the Chargers.
Yeah, of the three teams, the Raiders by far have the most difficult schedule. So this one, it's critical for everybody, for the Chiefs to try to get back on track. I mean, just to try – a Raiders win, though, gets them the season advantage. That would be the sweep over the Chiefs and a great road win. And all of a sudden now you're going, all right, the Raiders were in trouble. They were so close to maybe one more loss in that run of being out. Now you'd be in first either by yourself or sharing it with the Chargers after the weekend if you win. And controlling your own destiny, keeping Kansas City down. And it's just, to me, this is such a swing game. It really is, because the winner is going to feel really good about themselves.
And you have to operate, if you're the Raiders or the Chiefs, you have to operate under the assumption. And I know Kirk Cousins is still there. I know they still got some players. But Washington has been decimated by injuries to very, very key players. And the Chargers are hitting their stride. And I know teams will tell you they don't think like this. They don't worry about that. They worry about what's in front of them. You have to be under the assumption that the Chargers are going to win this game. You're not going to get a lot of help this week from the Chargers' schedule.
Yeah, and the Raiders' reality is if they win every game, they'll be fine. Now, can they do that? Because they play the Chiefs.
Jason?
Well, I mean, the Chiefs, they can't worry. I don't think they should even think about anyone else helping them. So because they play the Chiefs and the Chargers, they don't need the help if they keep winning. The problem is they have the Chargers, they have the Chiefs, they have the Eagles, and the Cowboys. That is not an easy run for the Raiders at all.
And the fact is, as much as I'm not dismissing Washington because I don't think they're talented enough, I'm dismissing them because every game they play, two or three players go on IR
come
that Monday.
Yeah.
So they're going to have a difficult time blocking. That offensive line is going to have some difficulty protecting Kirk Cousins back there, especially with one of the best defenses in the entire league. 2-8-4 teams are in Jacksonville, the Seahawks and the Jaguars. That's another fantastic one where both teams are fighting for their spots there. The Eagles and the Rams in Los Angeles. I said this to you earlier. If that game – actually, I don't know how many times this has happened this year, but both games are in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, same time. Well, 20 minutes apart, yeah.
Both games are in Los Angeles. If you can't attract fans with the 10-2 Eagles and the 9-3 Rams – they've screwed this whole Los Angeles football thing up.
Yeah, I mean, that's a preview of the NFC Championship, potentially.
You're not going to get, oh, what a shot at the Minnesota Vikings just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Jason, the entire—
You don't believe the Vikings are going to be in the NFC Championship.
Case Keenum is an icon. Okay, we'll be back. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, the Heisman nominees are out. My question is, will Baker Mayfield win the Heisman by the biggest margin ever? Plus, the Linear Championship, baby. We'll explain next. Well, I don't know what L.A. looks like this weekend, but I can tell you the secondary market tickets for the Eagles and the Rams are—they're up there. Secondary,
Mike?
Four hundred.
Whoa!
The end zone seats are tough. Those are
Coliseum.
One thing I really like about StubHub is that they like rank the value with like the little bars at the bottom. One of the best value tickets they have is a $300 end zone ticket. Yeah. Oh, there's a $250, but that again, that's an end zone. That's an obstructed view ticket.
Part of the problem. That's pretty pricey.
Yeah. Well, that's secondary market though. That was the secondary market. The Ticketmaster only had a couple of seats available. They were a little more reasonably priced, but again, the seats weren't very good.
Wow.
Are you a seat snob?
No, but
just happy to be there.
Happy to be there, yeah. But I would prefer a better seat, but also within reason, right? I mean,
Oh yeah.
But I haven't had the situation. We've had people call before and like, hey, my team is in this game, you know, Giants fans in the World Series or anybody, you know, kind of their big game. Do I go? I'm like, yes, these are life. I mean, you're not going to miss, I don't think, the money that you spend, and within reason. I mean, you know, if you can't afford your mortgage and you're doing something, I mean, that's silly. But if it's something where, hey, it might be a little bit tough to do, I still say do it because that's hopefully a lifetime memory. And so I'm still hoping there's a day where UCLA is in the BCS and in a final. Oh man, you have to go to Florida. All right, I'm doing it. It's going to be costly, but I haven't seen it yet. I may never see it again. So I hope I have that situation sometime.
Is that the sporting event that you want the most? Is UCLA
probably
in a?
Yeah, not basketball. I mean, not that I don't want them to do well. I've seen that, but like to have UCLA football in a BCS Final Four. The problem then is like, you'd rather go to the championship, but you don't know if they'll get there, so you probably have to go to the first one.
Yeah, it's always depressing when I used to go to Final Fours, and you'd see, like, the school that got it. You'd see their section, and there's, like, they're like, we're here. It's like, we're just going to go, but we don't really care.
We had 4 days planned, and the first one didn't work out.
It didn't go well.
Yeah.
Warriors All-Star guard Steph Curry's MRI result revealed no structural damage on his injured right ankle, but significant swelling and no return timetable. The Heisman Trophy finalists have been announced. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Bryce Love are your three finalists. That right there leads me to believe that Baker Mayfield might win the Heisman Trophy. Let me not hedge my bets here. Baker Mayfield will win the Heisman Trophy by the biggest margin ever.
Which is interesting because Love had an amazing season. You and I were talking about before the show that actually Lamar Jackson has better stats this year.
Better statistical season this year than he did last year when he won the Heisman Trophy.
Do you know off the top of your head a highlight from Lamar Jackson this year?
Nope.
Honestly, if you told me he got hurt week three, I'd have been like, oh, that's what happened.
That makes sense.
I don't know of anything this year.
Me neither.
From him. And I saw highlights galore last year because he had some amazing plays. They still show the one where he's running. I think it's at Syracuse. They try to kind of midsection tackle him, and he leaps the guy and gets into the end zone. Stuff like that you would see last year. I mean, it's Mayfield, obviously, to win, but Love had an incredible season for Stanford.
But in the same vein, if I asked you to make a top five of Baker Mayfield highlights, you probably could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have no problem with him winning it.
Desmond Howard in 1991, Charlie Ward in 1993, Troy Smith, old Ohio State quarterback, in 2006, and the largest margin of victory in the history of the Heisman Trophy. Do you know who it is?
I don't.
1968.
Oh, so 67 is Gary Beben from UCLA.
Wow, look at
you. That's the only Bruin that ever won.
Look at you. So 1968, obviously.
Is it O.J.?
With a Bruin, you counter with a Trojan. O.J. Simpson, Orenthal James Simpson, gathered 1,750 points in the Heisman Trophy voting.
And that trophy's gone, isn't it? Or does that
It's
kept?
Not gone. It's still in existence. I just don't think OJ has it.
Yeah.
Someone has it, but OJ
He's
doesn't.
Looking for it.
He's looking for
Amongst
it.
Amongst other things.
It's in a it's right next to the real killers, probably.
Yeah.
Is where it is, though.
Reggie Bush is still around?
Yeah, I think Reggie was like, you want it, man? Come get it.
Yeah.
Hey, is there a, you'll love this question, is there a Heisman Trophy winner in the history of USC that is not tainted?
Not in my mind.
Okay, of course not. Only one UCLA football player has ever
That's
won.
It.
1967, huh?
Yeah.
I love how quickly you knew that. That just
honestly, I wouldn't have known that, but I just heard the other day because they are celebrating, I guess they celebrate 50-year winners, 30, 20, something like that.
Okay.
And so they said, oh, this will be the 50th anniversary of Gary Beebe. And I went, whoa, okay. That's the only one for UCLA. I think Troy Aikman was probably the next closest. Cade McNown was, I think, sent there to New York.
You probably just blew a lot of people's minds that Troy Aikman actually went to UCLA.
Yeah.
I think that's forgotten.
Oh. Not for me.
Well, of course, it's not for you.
After Oklahoma, he was at Oklahoma first, of all things.
Right.
Running the option.
Yep.
Weird.
How well did that go?
Yeah.
I think his career worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. Okay.
The Linear Championship will be defended tomorrow night in Cleveland.
I'm nervous.
I tweeted that out. You should be. This is the Sacramento
is
Kings are playing for an NBA championship tomorrow. A linear championship,
yes.
But a championship. Nonetheless, the Cleveland Cavaliers have won 12 straight. Before we get out of here, Jay Ross, I think we have to explain again what the Linear Championship is. I just assume everybody listens every day, all day, and that is not actually accurate. I put out on Twitter yesterday, once the Cavs won, that the Sacramento Kings will be playing for the Linear Championship on Wednesday. And the most common response was, what?
Yeah.
Or
didn't they get it when they beat the Warriors?
Or,
no.
Huh?
Yeah.
Jason and I, that's how it started, though. We made the joke after the Sacramento Kings beat the Golden State Warriors that they were now the champions.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, no, if we're going to play the linear title game, we actually have to figure out who the champion is. So it starts with the Golden State Warriors enter the season as the champions.
And they lost it opening night.
They lost it opening night to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Night number two, the Sacramento Kings competed for the linear championship. We didn't know it then.
No, we didn't. We would have sold that big time.
This just became a conversation on the show. And Jason Ross and Chris Verlade, their hard work, traced the linear title. We've had such holders as the Memphis Grizzlies.
Twice.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Twice.
The Hornets have had
it. Yeah, Spurs, Celtics.
Cleveland actually won the linear championship from the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
And
Cleveland's had it a while.
Here we are. Cleveland's at 12 straight wins, and they have your Sacramento Kings complete with Jack Cooley and Jorgis Papagiannis. We actually had predictions on the text line just a few moments ago for linear championship MVPs. And Jack Cooley was a selection here.
Makes sense.
From the text line.
That'd be huge.
It will not be Scal Labissiere because they've decided to send him to Reno.
Yeah, and in that move in and of itself doesn't really raise that much of an eyebrow to me, but it does because Willie is now not on this trip. Willie was kept home. Team flew to Cleveland. They're there now. And Willie's still kind of nursing a sore back, and Willie didn't go. So I thought they're, okay, perfect. Scal's been starting, but in this case, Scal's not playing and won't play on this trip, this second half of the trip.
Which is perplexing.
Yeah.
But, okay, all right. Keep Willie back. Let his back get healed. I'm more perplexed by the Scal Labissiere deal, but whatever. Put Jorgis Papagiannis out there, and maybe you'll see something. You thought he could get you 10 rebounds if he played 20-plus minutes. I'd be stunned if he played 20-plus minutes, but if you're bringing him, if you're calling him up, play him.
Right, absolutely. And maybe that's a Friday game. Well, I don't know. He had to guard DeMarcus some last year. That didn't go well.
It very much did not
DeMarcus
go well.
DeMarcus was laughing
at,
him when he was a member of New Orleans and like, really? You're putting this guy on me?
And not figuratively.
Yeah.
Like
He literally was laughing.
We always joke how funny it would be because there's a contingent of people in Sacramento that make a trip to New Orleans to watch DeMarcus play. And I think that trip is happening.
Yeah, there's some people there.
We always joke that it'd be so great if DeMarcus got thrown out the day before.
Well, he threatened with that at least last night.
Him and KD wanted that to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Katie. Let's end with this. It's a text. We had a strong, like, final 10 minutes of text lines here. Sorry, I just took a glance at this. Thoughts? This was another story. Thoughts on Willie Taggart leaving Oregon for Florida State. Coward move in my mind. A lot of people upset in Oregon. Mm. I don't think any school likes being treated as a stepping stone school. And it looks like that's what Willie Taggart is treating Oregon as, is a stepping stone to a bigger school, which I guess Florida is.
Moment, better job, though. What is?
At this moment, yeah.
Florida State is?
Yes, because DeAndre Francois is there.
Okay.
You probably have a better team, mm-hmm. and you have the ability to go in there, make some noise. You make some noise. What's that do?
Yeah.
That attracts recruits.
Which in Florida is a hotbed.
Boom.
Yeah.
There it is.
Taggart!
Oregon is available.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly to?
No, don't do that.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
I just settled in for Chip being a Bruin coach.
No, I was more excited than you were.
I know. I'm warming up to it.
If you miss any part of today's show, particularly that first hour, it was a great discussion. You were a big part of it. We are so thankful for that. Download the KHDK app from the App Store on whatever your smartphone is, whatever your tablet is, or you could do it there on your computer as well. Just download the KHDK app from the App Store. You could go back. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live, as well as listening to us on demand. Sam Amick will be with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you at 2, or at 1, or at 12.
When?
We'll see you tomorrow.